So I'm going to talk a little bit about the social determinants of health framework. I think that we've already touched on it a little bit, particularly with some of the points that Teresa was making. And social determinants of health is a big part of what we do. You saw with the Philadelphia Land Care video that really it's about looking at non-traditional ways to address different problems. It's about looking upstream, so not just thinking about the crime issues in Philadelphia and how to get people off the streets, but actually how to go upstream and solve some of the issues. Still no relationships to disclose. Social determinants of health is an interesting area for healthy people because it is enmeshed and intertwined throughout all of healthy people. It is part of one of our overarching goals to create social and physical environments that promote good health for all. It's not a new concept by any means. We all know social determinants of health. I'm a clinical social worker by training. That's kind of what we do in social work. But it's definitely getting a lot more attention, and we're really excited to be able to have more of a focus on it and more support for it. Because these are really identified as, or increasingly recognized as, essential elements that we need to be able to focus on to solve some of our public health challenges. There's an emphasis shared by global and national initiatives on social determinants of health, so it's certainly something that is a growing field. So within healthy people, we have social determinants of health intertwined throughout all of what we do. You heard about our implementation tools, and that's a big part. Social determinants of health really plays into that. We don't just attack a problem individually. We try to think about all the different factors that go into it. At the same time, it's one of our new topic areas. So it's in a bit of a, it's got kind of a dual role for healthy people. So we are in the process of developing objectives that we can track over time. We're not setting targets right now for those objectives, but we are trying to find data sources to be able to look at some different areas to see if we're moving forward in addressing some of these issues. So this is a framework that shows how we are looking at social determinants of health within healthy people. We've identified five domains that we think are very critical when you're looking at those upstream factors: neighborhood and built environment, health and healthcare, social and community context, education, and economic stability. So these are all related. They're really those social factors and physical conditions in the environment in which people are, where they live, where they work, where they play. They affect people's health status, their ability to function, and their quality of life. And they also contribute to the inequities that happen within individuals' health and population health. So this is how we organize our social determinants of health approach, and we have identified several priority issues because these are huge areas, so we have to figure out a way to try to tackle it as best we can. This is new for us this year, or this decade, excuse me. So these are the key areas we've identified, usually two to four key priority issues that we want to address in each of the five domains. So you can see there's a broad variance here, and one of the things that we're doing right now is to do a little bit more of a literature review and investigation into these different areas. What's the evidence out there for looking at quality of housing in neighborhood and built environment, and how can we identify some data sources? We are connecting with HUD, we're connecting with Census, we're connecting with Department of Transportation for many of these domain areas and priority issues, so that we can try to figure out how we can connect these partners together so that it's not just HUD doing something and then HHS doing something, but that how we can actually see that this the synergy is there. So the key principles, all of these principles require a focus on partnerships. We want to look at communicating the importance of SDOH issues and their connection to health, public health, and health equity. We're looking to identify actionable strategies and interventions related to SDOH. We are really working hard to develop collaborative relationships among key stakeholders at the federal level. Our working group actually meets at least once a week, which is pretty unusual for a topic area. It's a lot. And we also want to focus on promoting and supporting SDOH at the tribal, state, and local level. So it's not just the federal level. We're trying to identify those partners and those that support that we can provide and who can provide us with support with respect to data. It is important that we take stock of which partners are out there, which ones are relevant, those traditional ones, those non-traditional ones, and help them to understand how they play a role. Too often we are siloed in the work that we do, and it's hard for others to see how they are connected to health. So we've had some great conversations in the last couple of years with different organizations or different agencies such as HUD to try to get them to the table, and they really understand how they have a role in health and in impacting health. So the theme of this conference obviously is healthography, where we live and work impacts our health. And that really is a big part of what we focus on for social determinants of health. It's really salient when we look at our five domains, and we think particularly about neighborhood and built environment. One of the things that we try to do as well is to pull in partners who can, who may have a different reach than we would. So right now we're working with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation as well as the CDC Foundation to look at laws. So we're looking at law and public health and developing 10 to 15 reports over the next several years, I think it's 3 years, to really look at, go farther in depth to look at some of these upstream issues and related to policy that are impacting health related to healthy people. And we're hoping that those in-depth analyses are really going to be able to help shape the way that we move forward in the future to be able to address some of these key issues. So with our determinants that we have, there's lots of different ways we can use them. We use them for developing objectives. We use them for the social determinants for thinking about how we're approaching health when we're thinking about our community intervention stories, with our partners, as I mentioned. And we are also using them right now as we are thinking about the development of a Healthy Aging Summit that we're putting on in July of next year. So the 2015 Healthy Aging Summit is one that we're working with the American College of Preventive Medicine, ACPM. They are a co-sponsor. And so when we were thinking about how do we tackle healthy aging, we realized that these were really relevant concepts that would impact healthy aging. So we have identified, and this is changing a little, we just had a couple of big meetings on Friday where we got some additional input from federal and non-federal stakeholders. So some of this is going to change a little bit. In general, we're really looking at the social determinants of health, those key concepts, and thinking about what are the key priorities under each, just like we do with the social determinants of health framework that we use for healthy people. We're going to be doing that for our Healthy Aging Summit. So we're going to focus on social and community context, quality of life and aging, health and healthcare, and neighborhood and built environment. And there are so many different directions we can go in with those. Obviously, it's going to depend on the abstracts that come in, but if you're interested in healthy aging, we will be launching the website by the end of this month, fingers crossed, and putting out a call for abstracts. So keep an eye out for that. So I know you can't read this. That wasn't the point of having this up here, but it was... I did want to show you how we're looking at social determinants of health within healthypeople.gov. So as I mentioned earlier, with the social determinants of health, it's the broad concept. It's the way that we look at how we're doing some work. It's the domains. But we also need to measure it. So we're also looking at those objectives and how do we measure social determinants of health in the different domains. If you can see the letters, you've got SDOH is for social determinants of health. So we've identified a handful of objectives this decade specific to social determinants of health. But we recognize that social determinants of health is all throughout healthy people. So there's no way that we can identify every single objective that is going to be related to economic stability. There's no point in the SDOH work group to actually come up with those new objectives if they're already in existence in another topic area. So what we've done recently with our website is we group our objectives by the domain that we talked about earlier, economic stability. We look at the ones that were specifically developed for SDOH first, and then we look down and you see NWS. So that's nutrition and weight status. And you'll see that eliminate very low food security among children. That's a really key objective that we have identified in the SDOH work group as being critical for economic stability when we're thinking about social determinants of health. So instead of recreating that, we are just linking linking that back in. One of the things that we saw as a challenge when we first put SDOH up on the website and started listing out some of our objectives, where people would come and they're like, this isn't very complete. It's not very robust. But it was because we were having trouble communicating that we really are looking at these other objectives as well in different topic areas. So we've just switched that up a little bit. And then the other thing that we've done is recently created a new tab within the Social Determinants of Health page called Addressing the Determinants. We also call it the portal because that's just what we started calling it internally, the SDOH portal. And it's an opportunity for people to go to the site, look at the objectives again. You can see the objectives based on the different domains. We've given them nice little icons, nice little graphics there. But it also lists out national, state, and local resources that we've identified and those that are relevant to different domains. So if you look down towards the bottom, you'll see that we've got listed the first one for the national resource listed is the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, A New Way to Talk About the Social Determinants of Health. And that's a document that's about the evidence-based practices and communicating the social determinants of health. And it's actually related to all five domains. So if you're looking for something that's related to economic stability, you can search just for economic stability, but it may also show you that it's related to additional domains as well. And we do this for the national, state, and local resources, and we're always updating it. This is new for us, but it's something that we are going to be continually updating to make sure that we get the best resources out there. Because, again, social determinants of health is an incredibly important concept for us all to pay attention to. It also can be kind of a buzz phrase right now, and so we want to make sure that we give those resources, just like with the tools, the implementation tools that we develop, we want to make sure that we are helping those in the community and those at the local and state levels to be able to figure out how do I apply this? What do I do with this? So this is our goal with the portal. So the next steps for healthy people and social determinants of health is we are continually looking to develop new objectives and connect to existing Healthy People 2020 objectives. We're looking to identify appropriate data sources, which is always a challenge. And Christina Dragon joined us from NCHS, and she's our data guru, so she's very busy. And we're also working on building out the SDOH portal to make sure that we can give the information that we think that our stakeholders want in terms of how to make some application. You can stay connected to us in many different ways. The web, Twitter, LinkedIn, we're on YouTube. We've just got it all. And here's our contact information. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions? Sure. Any questions for any of us?
Sources of data that you go to where you wouldn't ordinarily expect them. Just one, for example, is one that showed the number of people over the age of 2 eating a certain amount of vegetables. How do you? I know the framework says that I've looked at it since the 70s. There's always been this activity of trying to get more information or to set a goal when you really aren't going to be able to get there.
So we use a lot of different data sources. We have very strict guidelines on what kinds of data sources we can use. They need to be nationally representative. We'd like to have data that has population-level data available. We don't always get that. We're now starting to look at when we can get state-level data as well for a particular data source. It's definitely a challenge to find the right data sources. More and more, as I think one of us mentioned, I think it was Yen maybe mentioned earlier, funding is a big issue for data collection right now. And so we are finding ourselves in positions where maybe we've developed an objective and the question that's relevant for that objective may not be on that particular data source anymore. So it's always a challenge, but we have really committed topic area work group coordinators that are subject matter experts in the field, and so they really are invested in identifying where to find the data. Christina Dragon is the one who's working very closely on the SDOH topic area and has made a lot of different contacts through to Census, HUD, everybody who will take her calls, and is trying to find those data sources that are going to be applicable.
Can I just add on really quickly? So we do have over 180 data sources on healthy people. Primarily about 40% come from the National Health Interview Service. And I will, to your point, I think that's well received. I think in SDOH particularly, and in some other topic areas, we have what we call informational objectives. So we have developmental objectives where essentially we want to point out that this is something important. We might not have the data source yet, but we want to at least get it on sort of the national agenda. Data source, and it's a way for us to say, hey, look, this is a gap, this is where we should be looking. And we have measure goals, which is what you guys are expecting in terms of a baseline and having a target set. And then for SDOH and for some others, we actually have what we call informational objectives, which again is really as a way for us to have a baseline. This is where we are currently, but it doesn't necessarily make sense for us to have a target, which is what you had talked about. But it's a way for us to say, this is really important and we want to track it and see how we're doing. But it's not something that makes sense for us to say we want to see a 10% improvement in X.
Other questions, comments?
The direction of storytelling has been sort of intriguing to me. I care for another professional organization, an adapted version of Healthy People for college campuses. We call it Healthy Campus. Goals and objectives that are data sources that are specific to our population. And it's been a bit of a debate within our leadership about going the direction.
funding, language resources, things like that, because it is very specific. It's a 10-minute presentation on what you do and why you're impactful.
And for the web-based stories, do you go through the same, maybe not to the same degree, but a major vetting?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we have actually based a lot of our criteria for the stories in the field on the Leading Health Educator story, which was the first one, which was rigorous data. We want evaluation, and that's wonderful. But we also want to show innovation, and we want to show partnership, and that's not always going to be captured with evaluation criteria that the program has had in place. So we've actually run this through our Office of General Counsel, good to go, thumbs up. And so we have some requirements for basic things, like Dan said, it must be related to a Healthy People 2020 top career objective. It has to be working towards an overarching goal. It's recent, in the last 10 years or so. And then we give sort of additional consideration. It's not a requirement per se, but it's something that we're really hoping to feature in terms of that partnership, that cross-sector collaboration. If there was an evaluation component in place, that's sort of a plus and a benefit, and that they have that that evaluation criteria to really discuss. I think one thing that I mentioned was the evidence-based resources tool, and so we have a gradient associated with that. And right now, so the way that the gradient works is there's a 4 out of 4, 3 out of 4, 2 out of 4, 1 out of 4. And right now, with the database, we're only displaying 3 out of 4 and 4 out of 4. And really, that's looking at systematic reviews of community guides, clinical guides coming out of ARC, the USPSTF recommendation, and then some non-systematic reviews that have come out of published peer-reviewed journals. Again, we know that communities who are really focusing on being innovative and trying new things aren't taking the time to get their article published in a peer-reviewed journal. So we can say, check, you have a peer-reviewed publication, you can link to it on your site. So our stories from the field are sort of those ones and two type evidence-based resources where it's like an emerging or promising practice, but there's still work to be done in order to really corroborate that sort of evidence-based and could be included in our evidence-based resources. So if you're interested in the criteria, feel free to come back.
Any other questions? Got about 15 more minutes if you have any questions. Well, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the conference.